Blog Talk Radio.
BJ, how you doing today?
Not too bad, Evan. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, and this is our first show of the 2012 AFL season. We dabbled in it a bit last year. Why not bring it back, BJ? Why not bring it back?
Absolutely. People seemed to like it last year, so we got plenty of action this year. Crazy week last week. How about the Pittsburgh Power coming back from 31 points down? Biggest comeback in AFL history.
And it was the second biggest comeback in all of professional football.
Yeah, yeah. The question that people keep asking is, was it a great comeback or a great collapse? And I don't know the right answer to that.
Well, the Predators are sitting at 0-5 this season.
First time ever.
First time ever. They can't find a win.
No, but for 2.5 quarters, it looks like they finally found a quarterback. Justin Roper looked real good early on. Then things sort of fell apart. But maybe things are looking up in Orlando.
And I would say things fell apart. I'm not going to let you know what I think it is. I won't tell you if I think it was a total meltdown or just a superb comeback from the Pittsburgh Power last week. A lot of things going on this week in the Arena Football League office. We named the top 25 quarterbacks in AFL history, and tonight on Net 10 Arena Football Friday on NFL Network, we will reveal the top five in AFL history. BJ, did any jump out at you so far?
It was interesting seeing Kurt Warner come in there at number six. I think a lot of people are high on him, just, you know, based on his story and what a success he was at the NFL level. But I think, you know, it made a lot of sense so far. We're going to see the top five tonight. I think people can probably narrow it down to who those five quarterbacks are. But, you know, maybe the order will surprise some people.
And like BJ said, coming in at number six was indeed Kurt Warner, the NFL Arena Football League great who was inducted into the AFL Hall of Fame this past season. We had Ben Bennett at number eight, Mike Perez at number nine, and Art Schlichter at number 10. Am I saying that correctly, BJ?
I believe it's Art Schlichter.
Schlichter.
Yeah.
What do you know about Art Schlichter?
Well, he was a real good quarterback for a couple years in the AFL. You know, he had certainly had his issues, but with the Detroit Drive way back in the early 90s, it led him to their third consecutive Arena Bowl title, I believe. Very talented guy. Some other surprises on the list, I guess. Raymond Filial was down quite a bit. Todd Hamill at one point was the league leader in virtually every passing category. He came in at 17. Kind of interesting to see Brett Dietz on the list, number 21.
And I'll have to disagree with you. I think Brett Dietz should have been ranked higher by the Silver Anniversary Committee. I watched that kid play for 3 years, and what a 3 years he had in the league. One of the most surprising young quarterbacks in the league, and he had promising talent, only playing this league for 3 years, and I think he deserved a better ranking than that. We obviously can't forget about the Polish Rifle coming in at number seven, Mike Pulowski, the six-year veteran of the Arena Football League. Now we'll review this week's Players of the Week, and it was a wondrous week for the Philadelphia Soul, yet again, who are going to be featured tonight on Arena Football Friday, Kent Richardson.
Yeah, yeah, tied a franchise record, 3 picks in week 6. So, I mean, that Sol defense is very talented.
And Richardson winning the Rydell Defensive Player of the Week, like BJ said, 3 interceptions, 37 yards against the Sabercats last week. And Mark Greve, you know, where will he come in?
Well, top 5, probably, I would think.
That's what it looks like, and I guess the fans will find out tonight on Arena Football Friday. But throwing 3 picks, all to Kent Richardson.
Yeah, yeah. That actually, interestingly enough, the 3 picks moved him ahead of Cedric Bonner on the all-time list for career interceptions. So, and you know, Cedric Bonner, probably another quarterback on that top 25 list.
And he will be up there. He actually joined us on Arena Football Friday on NFL Network as one of our broadcasters in the booth. I think he did a great job. And it's great to have former players in the booth to let them know, let us know, the fans know, their knowledge in the Arena Football League game. We'll go down. Russell Athletic Offensive Player of the Week was Utah Blaze quarterback Tommy Grady. And what a victory they had over there against the Jacksonville Sharks, who are struggling this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy Grady was unbelievable. Tied a franchise record with 10 touchdown passes. And he was actually responsible for 11 touchdowns in the game. He rushed for another touchdown. And he's the only quarterback in the AFL this year to pass for double-digit touchdowns. So he's on his way to having another great season.
Let me ask you this question. When is P.J. Barry not in the running for JLS Ironman of the Week?
Yeah, I mean, he is a threat from anywhere on the field. He's played offense, defense, special teams this year, and he's finally getting his groove on in Pittsburgh, I think. You know, early on, he seemed to have his struggles, but now he's back to the form we saw last year when he set the all-purpose yardage record.
Barry right now is ranking 3rd in the league in kick returns with 30 for 588 yards and a touchdown on the season. The reigning JLS Ironman of the Year, what are his chances of bringing this award back home?
Well, you know, he's got a good chance. Some other top contenders for the award, you know, Jeff Hewley is as much a threat as Barry is at times. Marcus Everett, the wide receiver linebacker in Milwaukee, is going back to true Ironman form, playing both offense and defense, and he's had quite a good start to the season. But there are a number of guys that could contend for the award, but you're right, P.J. Barry has to be the front runner right now.
Let me ask you this. Did you catch Tiger Jones' miraculous catch against the Sabercats in that same game in week 6?
Yeah, Tiger Jones is a heck of a player. Cutter's Catch Award winner this week. He's recorded multiple touchdown receptions in each of the last 3 games, and he's had a touchdown in every game this year. So he's definitely somebody that defenses have to be aware of whenever he's on the field. Very, very challenging offense to go against when you're playing the Philadelphia Soul.
I'll tell you something, that catch was something else. An 8-yard touchdown reception from quarterback Dan Rodaba. Jones went up, flipped completely over the boards, and it was something else, I'll tell you. AFL Playmaker of the Week was Jacksonville's Terrence Smith, again putting up big numbers over there in Jacksonville. He's their MVP right now, although this team is dropping a number of games this season.
Yeah, but, I mean, you look at it, Terrence Smith, he's established himself as their go-to guy. He's won the Playmaker Award 2 of the last 3 weeks, I believe, and he's gotten 200 all-purpose yards in each of the last 3 games, which is, I mean, even though the Sharks haven't been seeing it in the win column recently, you got to believe they're knocking on the door.
And you have to. I mean, the 2011 Arena Bowl champions, it's rough. They're having some issues with quarterback. What do you think about Omar Jacobs?
I mean, he's improved. Each week he's been out there. And I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, when you're playing behind Aaron Garcia, you got to pick up a lot just by osmosis. I think that's helped him. Also, having Bernard Morris on the roster there is going to push him, I would think. I think they're headed in the right direction. So we'll see what happens here in the coming weeks. But I've been impressed with how he's progressed so far.
And as do I. I think he's putting up some big numbers. I'm liking his play. He has a lot to learn still in this league, and you know, now he's seeing some live action in the game. He saw someone when Aaron Garcia would run up the score last year in the Jacksonville Sharks, but He didn't see live action on a continuous basis. This is his team. It's his job to lose after the debacle with Chris Leak after week one, after Leak got that start. We'll move on to the Spalding highlight of the week, which was awarded to Chad Cook.
Yeah, that was a pretty sick run that he had. Just a dump-off pass, and Cook broke about eight tackles to get into the end zone. And he definitely lives up to his nickname of Tank.
What do you think about some of these fullbacks in the leagues we have this year? I mean, obviously you have the runner. You have the Chad Cooks. You have the Derek Rosses. And I like this kid out of New Orleans.
Try to pronounce his last name. I mean, it's impressive the way that the league has kind of embraced the fullback these last 2 years. I mean, Derek Ross in Philadelphia this year has been just unbelievable. A couple weeks ago, he broke the franchise record with 74 rushing yards. There are a number of very talented fullbacks in this league right now. So it's definitely something to keep your eye on. See if, you know, this is a quarterback's league, but we've been seeing a lot of running the ball this year. So something to keep your eye on.
Joe Alajajian. Is that correct?
That may be correct.
Well, you know, what is correct about him is his running game already tacking on 5 touchdowns and only 14 carries. So, the running game, is it becoming a fad right now in the Arena Football League to look for big-time runners?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you can't forget about Iowa with Rodney Filer there. He's had a rushing touchdown in each of the last 3 games. San Jose has a pretty talented running back again this year. There are a lot of teams that are showing off their running game, which is something, you know, we haven't always seen in the Arena Football League.
You know what I also haven't seen in my 3 years involved with the league was such a close voting in the National Guard MVP award. Robert Cuerga, he just came away with that award this week.
Yeah, Q down in San Antonio. That was a tightly contested race. You had Quiroga and Jesse Schmidt and Aaron Lesway down in Utah. All very, very good weeks last week. And Quiroga came away with the award. And it was great to see so many fans participating in the vote, really getting behind their players and weighing in on their own opinions with the National Guard MVP.
Right now, no undefeated teams are with us this season. We have the Chicago Rush losing against the Georgia Force, now sitting at 4-1. We have the Philadelphia Soul sitting at 4-1 as well. But then again, we do have some teams without a win in the win column. We have the Predators and the Kansas City Command. Do you think these two teams will get a win this season?
I do. I think there are pieces that just need to be put together. Orlando, like I said earlier, they're coming along. Justin Roper looks like he has some promise, and they just acquired Nate Davis, who happened to be Kansas City's quarterback, to start the season. And they certainly have a number of talented individuals on that offense and the defense. Bobby Scipio coming back is going to help them. T.T. Tolliver, we know, is an established commodity. In Kansas City, you know, Gutierrez has stepped up. He didn't look too bad against the Rush. We'll see what happens with the bye week and coming off that. But, yeah, I see them both getting wins this year.
And I do think with the addition of Eddie Kennison serving as the director of operations down there, I think he will be a face in the locker room. I think he will take that leadership role and really direct these players in the right direction. And I do think both of these teams will find that W this season. They don't play each other. So
they don't play each other.
We could indeed have a team that, you know, doesn't notch a win, but I don't believe it's going to happen this season. Talking about top teams, bottom teams in the league, well, take a look at the Week 6 coaches poll. Philadelphia came in at 1. I don't think that was a surprise to many. They were destined to be in that spot. They received 164 points, moving up from a last week rating of 3. We had Chicago Rush coming at 2, receiving 132 points. Last week, again, they were 1. They dropped to the Force, and their first loss this season – push them down to number two.
Yeah, and they got a tough matchup this week against Milwaukee. Now, both Milwaukee and Chicago had disappointing losses on the road last week. It's tough in this league to go to a different time zone, play on the road, especially stadiums like Death Valley and Spokane. Milwaukee had a very disappointing showing from if you talk to anybody in that organization. I would expect them to come back strong this week against Chicago. And Chicago, I mean, going down to Georgia, you could look at that as kind of a trap game, being undefeated, going out of conference. I would expect to see one of the better arena football games this year in that Chicago-Milwaukee matchup this week.
Like I said, we have Arizona at number 3-3-2 this year. They were in the Arena Bowl championship last year. They have a big matchup this week, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes. Nick Davila is facing a familiar foe in Aaron Garcia,
yeah,
who really broke his heart last year with that last-second touchdown pass to win Arena Bowl 24.
Yeah, sucked the air right out of that stadium.
Oh, man, and what an atmosphere. That was one of the best games I've ever witnessed live.
It was something else.
It was out of control, I'll tell you that. It's a sellout crowd, and, you know, I'm excited about this year, New Orleans, finally getting back to that neutral site.
Yeah.
And we had the San Jose Sabercats coming in at number 4, receiving 117 points. They stayed the same at number 4 from last week. The Georgia Force, number 5, with a record of 3-2, receiving 75 points. They jumped up 5 spots after that big win against the Rush. They ranked 10 last week, and they jumped up all the way to number 5 this week. What do you think about the Force?
Boy, you know, these 3-2 teams, there's a lot of parity in the league. The Force, you never really know which team you're going to get. Give Philadelphia credit. When they dropped 92 on the Force, I mean, that was an impressive performance, as impressive a performance as we've seen in a long time. And I don't think that's probably not representative of the Georgia Force as a team. I think the team you saw against Chicago is probably a lot closer, the way that R.J. Archer played against them. Brandon McRae is another player to watch out for. He and Larry Shipp have become some dominant receivers in this game. So the Force could make some noise this year.
I think so, too. And I like the play of R.J. Archer. I mean, you know, he got a chance in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings in with the Brett Favre era when all the trouble was brewing down there.
Yeah.
We turning our attention back to the coaches poll, the Utah Blaze came in at 6 with a record of 3-2, receiving 63 points, one up from last week at number 7. We have the Iowa Barnstormers jumping up a couple rankings at 3-2, and some great play out of J.J. Raderink and Jesse Schmidt. That's the connection that you got to look at.
Absolutely. Raderink hasn't thrown an interception in 3 games. If you don't turn the ball over, that's a big key to winning in this league.
It's all about the quarterback.
It's all about the quarterback. Getting after the quarterback, too. You put pressure on the quarterback, doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You hit him, he's going to get rattled. So we'll see what happens this week. But I like Iowa. I like that Raderink to Schmidt connection.
You got number 8. You got the Cleveland Gladiators coming in at 3-2 with 49 points, dropping a 2 down for number 6 last week. Tampa Bay Storm entering the coaches' poll at number 9 this week with a record of 3-2, receiving 47 points. And they're actually surprising me. I wasn't expecting much out of this squad, and they're coming in. They're looking good. They have young players that are stepping up and really filling these holes.
How about Prisha Rodriguez?
I'm excited because he's back tonight, or we think he's back tonight. I'm excited what he can do on the network. We also have the San Antonio Talons coming into the coaches' poll this week at number 10, receiving 42 points with a record of 3-2, and it's going to be all about Aaron Garcia and the health. If they can keep their receivers healthy out there in San Antonio, obviously we saw these guys go down. They may be without Jason Willis tonight. They lost their number one receiver or one of their top receivers, one of my boys, and
Carl Moore went down. Jomo Wilson went down. They've had some significant injuries at the receiver position, but Garcia is as good as there's ever been, so he's going to find a way. No matter who's out there, he'll find a way to get him the ball.
And Arena Football fans, if you'd like to chime in, we have some time left on this broadcast. Go ahead and give us a call at 347-324-3225. We can talk all the Arena Football action you want to talk this week. Let's get a rundown of this week's game.
Absolutely.
Let's check out first. Let's go run down American Conference games. We have the Georgia Force squaring off against the Orlando Predators. The Georgia Force have a 9-7 all-time record against the Predators, winning their last game in this matchup. Dean Kokinos versus Brett Muncy. What do you like in this one?
Well, I think it's going to be a better game than maybe the records indicate. Like I've been saying all podcast here, I think Orlando is a team that's on the upswing. I mean, there's only one way to go when you're 0-5, but I think Orlando is going to give Georgia a run for their money here.
And fans have to look at wide receiver Larry Shipp with the Force. You know, he's that go-to guy out there.
Absolutely. Touchdown in every game this year.
And that is impressive, especially after losing, Purify, the rookie of the year, him leaving the squad, and the Georgia Force are making some noise. Orlando will be looking for their first win, and this one featuring Justin Roper.
Yeah. Roper. Justin Roper, Montana.
You like him?
I do. I liked him when he was backing up Mikna in Chicago, and I like him in Orlando. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he develops as a starter in this league.
Go to the Pittsburgh Power at the New Orleans Voodoo.
PJ Barry back in the graveyard.
He is back in the graveyard. How do you think the fans will give him a little reaction?
Well, you know, PJ was a fan favorite in New Orleans. I think, you know, before the game they'll probably cheer him, and during the game they're going to support the Voodoo because that's what they do down in New Orleans. Actually, PJ Barry isn't the only former Voodoo player returning. Derek Cassidy, who's going to be starting for the Power, we assume, coming back. Mokut Ruffins, John Green, even Derek Stingley, who's now the Pittsburgh Power defensive coordinator. He was the head coach in New Orleans last season. So a lot of guys coming back to New Orleans here that just happened to be on Pittsburgh this season. So very interesting.
And you gotta think that the Voodoo are at home again after winning their... Their first game at home since 2008.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't won back-to-back home games since April of 2008. So, but, you know, having Pat O'Hara and Kurt Rocco there has really helped this franchise. I think they're a team that's on the upswing. Maybe somebody to watch out for this year.
The big match of the week that we're going to all be watching on NFL Network is the Tampa Bay Storm at the Philadelphia Soul. I'm liking this one. I'm looking forward to what Tampa Bay can do against the Philadelphia Soul this season. Ninth in scoring offense this season with 57 points per game is the Storm. And the Soul are first with 72.4 points per game. It's actually an even series at 3-3. What are you looking at in this one?
I think the key to this one is going to be turnovers. It's going to be that matchup of Tampa Bay's offense versus Philadelphia's defense. Steve Wassel... He has a tendency to turn the ball over a little bit, and Philadelphia is a team that will absolutely capitalize on that. So that's definitely something you want to watch out for. Like I said earlier on, key to winning, turnovers.
We have a caller that we're going to actually pull in now. Take a little break from running down these games and see what's up over here. Hanging on, we're waiting for this caller to connect. We might be having some difficulties connecting with the caller. Hey, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
How are you? Who are you speaking with today?
Great. This is Melanie.
How are you, Melanie? What brings you to the Arena Football League podcast?
I had a quick question. I'm actually a Jacksonville fan.
Go ahead and shoot away.
I think that they've had a couple close games, and I personally don't think that their record is the best representation of their ability. I think that they kind of fall short coming up at the end there. Do you think they have a shot against Cleveland this weekend?
I do think they have a shot, Melanie. You know, they need to get it together a little bit on offense. Obviously, eighth in the league, 57.2 points per game. I like Omar Jacobs. Do you like Omar Jacobs over there for you at quarterback?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Melody. We're talking. What do you think about Omar Jacobs? Do you like him as your starting quarterback?
I think that he's developed. I think that in the last couple of games he's done a much better job.
Well, he has a little challenge this week. I mean, the Cleveland defense. Yeah, they're mediocre. What do you think about this Cleveland defense, DJ?
I think Cleveland's got a pretty good defense, actually. I think Omar Jacobs is going to have his hands full. But, again, the key to this game is going to be the turnover margin. Tell you this for Jacksonville. They have one interception all season. John Dutton's thrown a combined 7 interceptions in Cleveland's 2 losses this year. So you get Dutton to turn over the ball, there's a good chance Jacksonville could win this game.
Actually, for my AFL FieldPass.com picks to click, I'm sorry, Melanie. I went with John Dutton, and I topped that off with giving Robert Redd the click this week. So, you know, we'll see what Jacksonville has to say about that. So, you know, we're expecting some big things. Melanie, we appreciate the call. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for calling. And have a blast. We have plenty of games on the lineup this week.
All right, great. Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Evan. Robert Redd, maybe it's an easy pick, but he's recorded a touchdown catch in 8 consecutive games dating back to last year. Definitely John Dutton's go-to receiver. Although, Dominic Goodman, another quality option for Cleveland. They have a lot for teams to defend against.
And that'll actually end our American Conference lineup for this week. I'm happy we stuck on the American Conference side there with the call. We can move on to the National Conference. We have the Iowa Barnstormers facing off against the Utah Blaze Friday at 9 p.m.
I think this is going to be a great game, Evan.
I think it'll be one of the best of the weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah, J.J. Rattering versus Tommy Grady, a couple of decent defenses. Yeah, I think it's going to be a good matchup. Definitely one worth staying up and watching.
You know who I think is going to have a great game? I'm leaning towards Jason Simpson.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think, you know, he gets action on all sides of the football.
He does.
He gets action at the return game. He's shifty.
He is. I mean, Tommy Grady is going to have to be aware of him. You know, they put up some big numbers in Utah, so Simpson will have his work cut out for him, but that could definitely be a matchup to watch.
You got Aaron Lasso also stepping up big time at the wide receiver position over there.
Yeah, yeah. 7 touchdowns last week, 42 points. I mean, both new tied franchise records in Utah, and those are both league highs for this season. So definitely a player to keep an eye on.
We'll quickly run down the rest of the National Conference schedule for this weekend. We have Kansas City at San Jose, 10:30 p.m., tonight. What are you liking in this one?
Well, I like Mark Grieve to bounce back. He had a 3 interception performance against Philly last week. It could be a tough matchup for Kansas City, I think.
Well, it could be on Matt Gutierrez to find that first win, the quarterback that just came in a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, what an upset that could be.
What an upset it could be. We also have the Milwaukee Mustangs at the Chicago Rush. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m., the Chicago Rush coming off their first loss of the season.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a great game. Milwaukee is much improved from last year. Watch out for Gino Gadulli, the Italian Stallion.
Italian Stallion, I like that kid. Then you have Aaron Garcia facing off against Nick Davila on Sunday. We got a Sunday matinee, 6 p.m. Eastern game on Ustream.
Absolutely. Arizona, you know, they've looked as good as anybody this year. They've also looked questionable at times. Nick DeVille has thrown 6 interceptions this season, but 5 of them come in the last 2 games. So maybe, you know, Fred Shaw and that San Antonio defense, they could be looking at some balls their way.
Arena Football League fans, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of AFL Week 7, the radio broadcast straight from the AFL League office in Chicago, Illinois. We'll be watching the games tonight and this weekend. Why don't you catch some action? Tonight we're kicking off 8 p.m. Eastern. Thank you guys for joining us.